Show. I'm so glad you guys are with us today. I got news from two different people that Doug Hagman's wife, Renee, has been hospitalized this morning with a suspected heart attack. And I don't know if that's 100% accurate because I can't verify it because I have not been able to reach them by phone or by email, which would be the case if she was in the hospital. So right now, I need all of you to please do me a favor. We all need to pray for Renee Hagman right now before we start the show. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, our wonderful, wonderful Jesus, Lord, I come before your throne of grace and of mercy and of peace and of love, and I ask for mercy, for healing, for Renee Hagman. I pray, Father, that her heart is totally healed, that these arteries are totally clear, these doctors can find out what's wrong with her and fix it with a minimal amount of intrusion, Lord. That she'll be completely and totally restored. There'll be no heart damage or any damage to her cardiovascular system. Father, I know the Hagmans have been under a lot of stress the last few months, Lord, and I just pray that you send them your peace that can only pass through Jesus Christ, the peace that passes all understanding, Lord, as long as we keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Father, be with Renee. I speak healing to her body, healing to her heart, healing to her cardiovascular system. I call her whole in Jesus' name. The word says, by his stripes we've been healed. So I speak Renee Hagman totally and completely healed, Father. I pray for the stress level now with Doug, Lord, and with Joe. I pray that you direct them and you guide them and you help them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. I want all of you guys to pray with me this day. Now, it may end up not being true, but it's from two reputable sources that you would recognize both names, and I trust them. But I have not been able to verify it myself for obvious reasons. So anyhow, so we need to move on with the show. Basically, they're telling us now that North Korea has tested a hydrogen bomb. And so, you know, I don't know if you guys know the difference between a hydrogen bomb and a fission bomb, but there's quite a bit of difference as far as how it works. The problem we have right now, though, is that we don't really know what type of bomb was detonated. A fission bomb, or like the bombs that we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, they're very small. They use, you know, like a TNT charge to detonate them. The other bomb, the hydrogen bomb, uses deuterium and tritium, and it uses a fission or a nuclear reaction to set it off. And it can be 1,000 times bigger than a fission bomb. The difference is, though, if the fission bomb detonated, it may not have detonated the hydrogen bomb. And they're saying it was a very, very, very small hydrogen bomb, if indeed it was a hydrogen bomb. So chances are the fission bomb simply didn't ignite the material for the fusion. So if North Korea starts picking up these types of weapons, they start detonating these types of weapons, especially in the atmosphere, I'm not sure if this is an underground test or not, but there was a huge seismic reading of about 5.1 in the vicinity. So there was almost like a man-induced earthquake. But this is old, old, old technology that was originally developed back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. The technology that we have today is far beyond this. But these guys can still do a lot of damage with these types of weapons, and we need to all pray that this simply doesn't happen. The second story I want to talk to you about today is Obama now is going to be doing a big show on CNN tomorrow night that I do not recommend that you even watch. This is the same thing that Piers Morgan did a few years ago after Alex Jones was on his show, and Alex did a great job. It's the all-time greatest Alex Jones interview ever with a liberal person out of CNN. It was on with Piers Morgan. And then Piers decided to start slamming the First, Second Amendment over and over and over again on CNN. Finally, his numbers were dragged so low that he ended up in a situation where they canceled the show. So, you know, Obama is just absolutely, pardon the phrase, hell-bent on doing this. And so I'm not sure, you know, what we're supposed to do. Plus, Alex Jones released a couple days ago, maybe yesterday on his show, that he's been told now from a high-level source in the government, he inferred it might be Secret Service, but he did not specify that Obama prays 5 times a day to Mecca on a prayer rug in the White House, and that he's a full-blown Muslim. Which, of course, we already knew that, but, you know, that's why he doesn't wear the jewelry, and we've talked about this. So may God help us if this man really is a Muslim infiltrator in the White House. But let me ask you guys a question on this. What did we think we were electing? Because I never voted for him. All you guys who voted for him, which I don't think any of you listening to my show are voting for him, what do you think he was with a name like Barack Hussein Obama? Did you think that was a Judeo-Christian name? What do you think that was, Barack Hussein Obama? Are you joking me? I mean, so what do we have? What do we have anything to be surprised about? The guy's a Muslim and he prays to Mecca 5 times a day. Now, I'm going to qualify this, though. Not all Muslims who pray to Mecca 5 times a day are bad people. That's just not true. The problem is when you have one who's in the White House who's determining foreign policy and signing executive orders, you know, by the bucketful, you know, you got to really think about what his ultimate objective is going to be as far as the United States, because his wife has already said how much she hated the United States and how much she hated being an American. She was ashamed to be American, or whatever her comments were. I can't remember the exact quote, but you know, the whole thing's just to mess with these two. And so I'll be so thankful to God Almighty when this election rolls around in next January and we have another, I guess we can call it a coronation now, in the White House, apparently where everybody's acting. And if, again, and I'm going to say this again, if you guys get mad at me, get all hacked off, it's entirely up to you. I'm not voting for Hillary Clinton, and I'm not voting for a third-party candidate. We cannot allow Hillary Clinton to get into the White House. And if that means Donald Trump's going to get into the White House, that's so be it. But I'm not doing this. This has gotten too far now. The country's gone too far down the skids under this communist, oligarchical, totalitarian, dictatorial regime that we have in the White House. It was so funny, Austin. I was getting my hair cut today. And Austin and I go to an interesting place to get our hair cut. Great guy named Carlos. He's out of Honduras. It's a Hispanic barbershop that cuts primarily 95% Hispanic people's hair and folks that are black, you know, African Americans' hair. And it's funny because we were sitting there and we were talking, and they had CNN turned on. And every time they'd say something, I'd say, that's nonsense, or that's nonsense, or that's true, that's true. And then finally, one guy, one of the black barbers in there, says, well, you know, this is all about separating the people in the United States and causing division among us all. I said, you're absolutely right. And then he said something that was very interesting. He goes, you know, George Bush is the one who went into Iraq and killed and destroyed Iraq. And I said, you're absolutely right. He's also the one that had Saddam Hussein hung after we found out he had no weapons of mass destruction. And his dad was the head of the CIA, and many people have tried to implicate him in the Kennedy assassination. And Prescott Bush was basically tried and charged with Trading with the Enemies Act back in the 40s because he was basically a Nazi sympathizer and was financing a lot of Hitler's campaigns in Europe. And he basically took in 1933, used General Smedley Butler, brought him in to try to stage a coup against Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, by this time, everybody in the barbershop is looking at me like, what the heck are you talking about? Then I told him, I said, there's a video you can watch. It's called From JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. Write it down. From JFK to 9/11, it's a rich man's trick. It's had millions of views, and it ties the entire Bush family drug crime cartel together with all of this mess. And that's why I'm so happy. Oh, God, I'm so happy. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy that Jeb Bush is doing so awful in the polls. I just wish Hillary Clinton had somebody who was basically going to be running against her to prevent her from being a nomination for the Democrats. Okay, awesome. Any comments on any of that?
Yes, that's awesome. I'm glad you got your hair cut and you woke those people up in there. They're usually really cool. And most people come in there don't usually have that dialogue with them. But one thing I did want to address now, this just came out this morning. The Lieutenant General Andre Blattman, who is basically a lieutenant general in the Swiss Army, Switzerland,
has issued
a warning now to the Swiss people that society is dangerously close to collapse, and advises those that are not already armed as part of the Swiss Army Reserve to take steps to arm themselves. He quotes, he states, society is on the verge of collapse. Citizens must arm themselves for protection. Blattman has been the head of the armed forces since March 2009, and his words carry very significant weight in a country which several citizens' initiatives have gone against burqas and mosques and have proven enormously popular as concerns grow about immigration and Islamization. And he goes in here basically saying that social unrest cannot be ruled out, that the Western European world is basically headed downhill rapidly, and that everybody in his country needs to arm themselves immediately if they have not already done so. And this is coming from the lieutenant general of the army in Switzerland now, which we know Switzerland's pretty much been one of the only countries over in Europe that was never invaded. And what we guys got to understand now is that if Europe collapses, obviously we know you'll watch it happen immediately after. But for, you know, Americans, I've already told you guys, you need to start arming yourselves. Now we already saw this with, you know, ATF now filing the 41P that they just released, where we don't have to have a law enforcement sign off on our firearm trust now, but now every single person in the trust is now going to have to be fingerprinted and have their photos in the trust. So we're seeing this come together now as far as with all these firearm restrictions. So I urge you guys to get one, because when the chief of a country's armed forces starts saying things like this in public, then time for preparation is basically short. So I wanted to get that out there and let you guys understand we're not the only ones talking about this now.
You know, what's interesting, Austin, I've been to Switzerland many, many times because my, you know, my whole family lives in Germany. It's right next to Switzerland. I've been over there many, many times. I have friends who live there. And what's interesting, we have customers there. Actually, we have customers who live in Switzerland too. And what's interesting about Switzerland is every year, every man of fighting age has to be in the Swiss militia. And for like, it's either 3 days or 7 days, I don't remember, they train with fully automatic weapons. And what they do is they keep those fully automatic weapons at their home. Now, they're not issued ammo for them until there's an emergency, but then they issue the ammo to them. But every single person in Switzerland who is a man of fighting age has a fully automatic rifle. I mean, we're not talking select fire now, I'm talking fully auto. You know, we have a fully automatic, they have a fully automatic weapon, and that's one of the reasons that Switzerland was never invaded. Now, the other reason Switzerland was never invaded, quite frankly, during World War II, is that the Nazis put all their gold there. I mean, just let's be real here. Let's not try to paint some halo over the Swiss. And the Nazis simply didn't want to invade Switzerland because they knew that the gold and the Bank of International Settlements, which were financing a lot of the Nazis' war efforts. In fact, you can read that book, The Power of Basel, and you can go into that book and you can actually see the Bank of International Settlements and what they are and who they are. It's a great book. You need to read it. A pastor friend of mine gave it to me. If you read that book, it goes into detail with us. But that's the primary reason I believe the Nazis didn't try to invade Switzerland, because they knew they had to have a backup plan. Because a lot of the Nazi loot that they looted from all the other countries around the world, it was basically stored in Switzerland in their gold reserves. And then after they had literally stolen trillions and trillions of dollars from these countries that they had invaded, they were able to literally buy up 500 of the major corporations around the planet and run them. Gorman did a lot of that out of Argentina after he got out and escaped to Argentina. So there's a lot of stuff that you need to read about in history that happened with the Nazis and with Switzerland. But yes, the Swiss government is warning people now that the society as we know it's about to collapse, and Switzerland will, I can guarantee you, if it happens, close their borders, because they are a self-contained country. They can feed their own country based upon the production of what they do in that country, and that's why they heavily subsidize their farmers in the areas to make sure they can continue to produce food to feed the country. So, Austin, you're spot on this. The Swiss telling us right now we've got a problem. Plus, a few weeks ago, the Swiss kind of started going after the central banks and what they were going to do with them, and it's a major issue. Any comments?
No, that's exactly the point. I mean, we definitely need to keep an eye out on everything that the Swiss says over there, because they're usually pretty completely independent. Another one, too, Crystal Sugar Company CEO David Burge now is having an issue as far as keeping the sugar companies now in business. Though sugar prices remain high, his companies and other sugar companies are facing serious roadblocks due to the anti-GMO movement. And well, American Crystal Sugar Company has already donated over $1.3 million to 221 members of Congress this election cycle, and spent even more last year lobbying in 2013. And what's interesting is I did not know this. The U.S. Department of Agriculture arranges loans to sugar farmers and allows them to repay those loans with raw sugar if the prices fall below 20.9 cents per pound. This subsidy program drives up prices for consumers and thus doubly subsidizes the industry. The USDA then sells the sugar at a steeply discounted price to ethanol producers. Last year, the USDA spent $53 million on this program, including the loans that could not be repaid. The government spent $171 million just to keep the large sugar businesses basically on top of all their cash. Now, this is kind of ridiculous when you think about it, that we're basically having to subsidize them to make sure that they keep the business, you know, top-notch, and then we buy it back at a discounted price, sell it to ethanol. But we're seeing more and more now, the whole point of that, was we're seeing more and more now of everybody starting to push away from the GMOs and really demanding the stuff be labeled. And a lot of companies now are doing it voluntarily, that you see, you know, with the GMO project, the non-GMO project and stuff like that. More and more people are waking up. So if any companies have pretty much sense and they're making a good, clean product that's not using GMOs, they're going to start labeling it. So the requirement for labeling may not happen, and it may not be required to list stuff that's GMO. But you can better believe the companies that are producing good products that are made from non-GMO sources, they're all starting to label it out clearly.
Well, look at this complete and total. What I personally believe is the setup of Chipotle's. I mean, we eat the Chipotle on a regular basis, and the truth be told, you don't even know if any of what we've heard about these other stores is even true, or if they were set up by people that said they ate there and they never even ate there. Basically, yep. They're the point where they're running around saying, I've got E. coli poisoning from Chipotle's, because Chipotle's was having phenomenal growth because they were GMO-free. See, a lot of folks don't realize, see, sugar beets are almost all GMO. That's why at Health Masters we have a product called, it's a beet powder, and it's another nitric oxide releaser. It's really good for circulation. It's great to clean out the liver. It's a phenomenal product, but we have to constantly source it to get non-GMO sugar beets that are basically organic. Very, very difficult to do it. But I take 2 scoops of that every single day, and it really keeps my energy levels up. And thus, we have these really good workouts. When you combine it with the HGH Stimulate, the workout and the pump that you get in the workout in the gym is amazing. And I'm 60 years old. Now, I don't work out like Austin does, but I still train pretty hard for a 60-year-old. In fact, I train really hard for 60-year-olds, since most 60-year-olds don't train. I'm sorry, a little bit of humor there. But the truth is this, you know, sugar beets are almost all, you know, GMO. And the reason all this happened with these massive sugar subsidies was because back in the 60s, when we cut off our supply chain with Cuba, Cuba was producing almost all of the sugar, and also we were producing a lot of the sugar in the Everglades. And we cut off the supply chain to Cuba, and then we started to realize how much pollution we were doing in the Everglades and in Lake Okeechobee. A lot of these major sugar companies kind of went out of business because of all that. So now they're using the sugar beets and the GMO. So it's a major problem. So if you're going to get beet powder, any type of beet powder whatsoever, by the way, this is what the Olympic athletes drink before competition. You'll see them running around with a jar of red liquid. That's what it is. It's beet powder, because it's not banned by the Olympic Committee, and it causes the blood vessels to open up, gets more blood, more oxygen. It's also great for erectile dysfunction. It doesn't work as well as the HGH Stimulate does as far as nitric oxide release, but it does a great job as far as if you're just using it to work out with and get a pump. And that's why a lot of athletes do that, because it actually increases the O2 in their bloodstream and actually increases the O2 max. So that's really important, that I want to share that with everybody. Oh, by the way, show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. Go to our website, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. That's 800-726-1834. And I know you can buy your supplements anywhere, but we've got really good supplements. I've been doing this for 35 years, and we appreciate you guys for supporting us. And I know so many of our customers listen to the show every day. Thank you. Thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I thank you for that, and I pray God's blessings on you. Okay, here's another argument. Here's another article, Austin. This is interesting. You know, I'm not a big Democratic fan, okay, but I like Bernie Sanders better than I like Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think everybody loves anybody better than Hillary Clinton. But he did a whole speech the other day, and he actually said he was going to rein in Wall Street. Now, I want to share this with you. This is interesting. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders of Vermont gave a speech yesterday that is destined to go down in the history books of this era, further enshrining him as one of the most courageous voices of our time, according to Pamela Martins, who's writing this article. Sanders promised to break up the serially criminally inclined banks on Wall Street and reinstate Glass-Steagall, which needs to be reinstated, to drive a permanent stake through the heart of too big to fail. But if you watched either his official campaign's YouTube video of the speech or the one provided by volunteers for his campaign, 3 key passages of what he said have been deleted from the video. And then he goes on to say that we were able to reconstruct what he said. But he's slamming the central banks, and he's slamming this stuff, and he's trying to tell people, hey, look, we've got to do this stuff. We've got to get rid of these guys. We've got to fix this mess. And, of course, the banks who control everything, they don't want any of this information going out, and they have changed the speech. So I thought you guys would need to hear all of that, because – and Democrats, listen to me. If I happen to have any Democrats that are listening to the show, which I really doubt, I really don't think I have any Democratic listeners. Not that I would not want to have Democratic listeners, but it's because of the topics that we cover and our the way we look at things. If I do have any Democratic listeners, vote for Bernie Sanders instead of Hillary. I mean, just do yourself a favor. I mean, Trump's going to take Hillary Clinton, who I really believe Trump's going to get the nomination, I hope and pray. But this is going to be a food fight, man. This is going to be a major mess with Hillary and Donald throwing stuff at each other. It's going to be a major, major mess. You know I'm right, Austin.
I know. It's going to be, it'll be interesting. It'll definitely be exciting, I'm sure, for everybody to watch, even if it's doesn't come out with a positive outcome that we want it to. At least it's going to be some entertaining television for some people.
Well, yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is that this whole thing is like, you know, all these guys, these lower-level candidates under Trump, for some reason, are all slinging mud at each other now. And a lot of these guys, they have a rally and six people show up. Eight, 10 people. This was on CNN today. Trump, and they even said on CNN, they said, when Trump has a rally, 10,000, 15,000 show up, seating capacity. I mean, that's the ear of the American people. And what he's had, we've all had enough of this political correct nonsense. It's nonsense. It's complete and total crap is all it is. If you want to coin a vernacular there, that's all it is. That we have to be so careful. We got to tiptoe through the two left. I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't say anything that's true anymore. And it nauseates me. I mean, you can't say the radical Muslim jihadist people are coming to the United States through our immigration program and they're not being properly vetted and we need to stop the immigration of Muslims until we can fix this. Like Trump said, you can't say that. Oh my God, you're racist now. No, I'm not. I just want a bunch of people over here shooting at us. I mean, what is all that, Austin? I mean, Gus, what's your next story?
Well, no, you're dead on as far as with Trump, because, I mean, he's constantly, I was extremely pleased with his comment this week. He said, GOP frontrunner Donald Trump has hit out our president's Obama gun control move by promising supporters they are not going to take your guns away on his watch. He said, I will not let Obama screw around with the Second Amendment, and assured basically supporters that he's going to do everything he can. He reiterated the point, saying Obama should not be doing this by executive order. You should be getting Congress together, and there's supposed to be an agreement. All they're doing is sidestepping by sidestepping. They're hurting the Second Amendment, and that's all they're doing. And so, I mean, he basically has come out now, said that he's not going to allow this to happen if he can do anything about it. Because, I mean, this situation we're seeing now, Obama, all he does is, there's an article today, I didn't print it off, but I think it was saying that Obama has basically done more, essentially, unconstitutional executive orders since the last six presidents combined. That's all he does. If you notice, if you look at the list of all stuff, all he does is sign executive orders. He can't get anybody to do what he wants because his acts and his ideas are so horrendous, so he just signs executive orders on everything. And so that's pretty much how he is. He's ruled by decree almost over the last 8 years, so to speak, by just signing executive orders in the law and expecting everybody to follow them. But we're definitely going to see hopefully a big change next year if we can get him out and get Trump in there, who's not going to be, in my opinion, will be as controlled as much by the central banks because, you know, Trump's definitely diversified his assets, I think, quite correctly and proficiently, and he's also not, you know, reliant on the central banks to support him. He's not even, you know, taking in, you know, as far as lobbyist money and stuff like that. Also, too, another thing I wanted to bring up, is we discussed it yesterday, so I keep you guys apprised of it, is the incident out in Oregon. I don't know where this is going to go, where this is going to head, but I find it very odd that this situation in Oregon just started the end of last week, and now we have all this gun talk about banning assault rifles, stopping the background, you know, making sure the background checks, not allowing purchases of firearms through trust without photos. And Chuck Baldwin wrote an article that was actually quite solid. I mean, I definitely like everything Chuck Baldwin writes. I've been a little hesitant to say anything about what's happening in Oregon, negative or positively, because I don't know the entire situation, truthfully, because I'm not there. But one thing he brought up, because a lot of people have been telling me, you know, they're comparing this to the Bundy Ranch incident last year, or I guess 2 years ago now. And he states, and he goes, in Nevada, the BLM was the aggressor, including a very real threat of violence against the Bundy family. If you remember that, they had their basically special force BLM agents out there with sniper rifles. They had already killed multiple cows. They were basically starting to surround their property. They deployed tasers on a group of them. They were protesting. So it was escalating rapidly, and it was primarily all aggression for the BLM. It said the Bundy family desperately appealed for help from the neighbors and friends. The legal nuances of the Bundy situation, essentially the feds gave the appearance they were preparing for another Waco incident that could not be tolerated. However, the incident of basically Ammon Bundy now over here taking this place over this empty refuge in Oregon over, and the men are with him take it over to remote, empty federal facility outside Burns, Oregon, he states is unwise, careless, and downright foolish, and there is no cause for such action. And he goes in here, if you want to read the whole article, you can check out Chuck Baldwin. He writes some really good stuff. But basically, nothing has happened over there. The whole thing started with the Hammonds going to jail, and that was their incident, and they were basically supporting them not going back to jail. But then they just decided that they were going to take over this refuge and basically make demands that they're released from prison now and to give all this area back. Now, I completely agree with them in the fact that I think the federal government has massively overstepped their bounds with property confiscation and holding property like they do now. The federal government was never designed to own property. It was supposed to be the sole purpose of the states to designate what was state wildlife property and so forth. The federal government was never designed to own land, ever. So I understand where they're coming from with that, but the problem is a lot of people are starting to say now that they think some basically some undercover FBI or ATF or CIA guys have basically infiltrated this group, and they're trying to provoke more of an incident to happen. I don't know if that's the truth, but I know the situation really isn't going to go positive, I don't think, for anybody right now, because nobody has shown any type of aggression towards Ayman Bundy and those guys, and now they've basically held up in this refuge and are essentially trespassing, if you want to look at it, you know, just flat out. And so I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I definitely think, you know, everybody needs to be praying for the situation and hope it de-escalates quickly, because there's not much good that's going to come out of it. All they're going to do is try and blame, you know, right-wing extremists.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Say, okay, we need to take your guns now. Look at these white American Second Amendment extremists. This is what they do when they have guns that are uncontrolled. They take over buildings and wildlife refuge and basically refuse to leave. That's how they're going to spin it. If, whether you believe that or not, that's the way it's going to get spun really quickly.
Well, Dawson, you know, I personally believe this thing reeks of a false flag.
Yeah.
And I personally believe they've used some of their own infiltration techniques and some people who don't really know what's going on, who just hate the government, to come in here and do all of this. And you're right. It could be another Waco. And with this monarch in the White House, you know, in this coronation, which I guess will be next year, another will be coronated. Hopefully Trump won't be a monarchy again. But you know, the whole thing about it is that, you know, you don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he's like a loose cannon on the deck, man. He prays the Mecca 5 times a day, according to Alex Jones. I mean, you know, are you kidding me? I mean, so this guy, he wants to destroy the United States. If he didn't want to destroy the United States, why is he bringing people in the middle of the night, bypassing security, bypassing all this stuff? You guys have seen the videos on these major groups of people that are coming in on these large aircraft that are just basically walking through and not even getting checked out of these countries. I mean, this whole thing's like, it's almost like we're living in this really crappy movie right now of a person in the White House who basically hates the United States and is doing the bidding of the globalists to the point where he's actually embellishing it and trying to do more than they even want him to do. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And of course, we already know about all these guys who claim to be his gay lovers who were murdered, you know, in Chicago. I mean, this whole thing is like this big disaster that we put in the White House. And, you know, he said, and I'll give him credit for this, I'm going to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And when he said that, did we really think he was kidding? The problem is the war criminal George W. Bush was in there, and everybody hated Bush. They could have run a doggone caterpillar, you know, insect against the Republican candidate and won. I mean, everybody had enough of George Bush's 8 years of nonsense, you know, and I mean, it's just ridiculous. And that's why we can't make this partisan politics, friends. This is about trying to save the country right now. This whole partisan, I'm a Democrat, well, I'm a Republican, well, I'm a Libertarian. No, God, no, forget that. Forget all that. We've got to be Americans right now. And like I told Dave Hodges on his show on Sunday night, I don't know if Trump is real, and I told you guys this the other day. John F. Kennedy had an epiphany when he got shot, when his PT boat was sunk, and he wrote the, you know, Profiles in Courage, won a Pulitzer Prize for it. They put him in the White House, and he said, heck with it. I'm not doing this crap. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. We're getting rid of the CIA. We're getting rid of this mob control. We're getting rid of bringing these drugs in. We're going to get rid of all this stuff. And they killed him. So the truth of the matter is, I don't know if Trump's had that epiphany or not. But I hope that he has, Austin. I really, really do, and that we'll be able to do something about it. Here's another article. China's shipping bankruptcies likely to surge as dry bulk rates plunge. The Baltic Dry Index again hit another all-time low of 468 points on Tuesday. Dry bulking shipping firms are facing losses and liquidity woes. Depressed markets are likely to continue all the way through 2016. This is out of Shanghai. It says January the 6th, China's dry bulk shipping industry will see a huge surge in bankruptcies this year as freight rates hit record lows and the country's demand for the imports wanes. Now, this is what's happening, and I've told you guys about this. I told you about this when we did our outlook the other day for the Monday about what I was predicting for the future. I talked about this and about how the economy is getting worse and weak and weaker and weaker and weaker. So this is a major problem with this. So that means what happens is these third world countries that are selling all of these resources back to China, I covered this on Monday, they won't have the revenue stream coming in to pay back all the money they borrowed from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. So they can't pay their bills. So all these countries are now being affected by the low commodities prices. And now China itself doesn't need the commodities anymore because their production facilities are way, way off as far as them manufacturing stuff. And Austin, you covered this the other day with all of their cities they have that nobody lives in. They built all those things now. Nobody's living in them. So we still don't know what all that was about. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, well, we talked about it. You look at the photos online, it's not even a joke. I mean, there's literally, housing for hundreds of thousands of people. So since we all need to be humanitarians, I think China needs to go ahead and start welcoming in all the Islamic Muslims that want to behead everybody and let them live in those houses for free, since basically the world expects us to do that as well. Just my thought on that. But another one, too, on here, the investigation by researchers from the University of Wisconsin has uncovered, most of the listeners will already know this, but this is just confirming it even further, that despite years of denial, the FDA has known since the 70s that the sodium nitrites cause cancer, and yet continues to allow them in the meat industry. And there's a couple different articles that I pulled up on it, because it's basically people are starting to wake up again. Sodium nitrite is used essentially in almost all preserved luncheon meats. Your turkey franks, your hot dogs, your meats, all that stuff is used as a preservative. And they state here, nitrites change the normal function of the hemoglobin, which carries oxygen in the blood to the rest of the body, and basically into a form of the methemoglobin that cannot carry oxygen. And so on top of this now, they're starting to show that it causes issues with hypertension and strokes from the lack of oxygen, and now also what we've already talked about many a times is that it's been linked to colorectal cancer and all types of other ailments with a digestive issue, and you throw that on top of the GMO foods now, you got yourself some pretty toxic stuff. You know pretty much everything there is about the sodium nitrite hoax. Anything else you can add to that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sodium nitrite, I've been talking about this for 35 years. Sodium nitrite, when you mix it, now not to be confused with sodium nitrate, that's different. Sodium nitrite is the preservative agent they're using in luncheon meats. It's one of the benchmark things that I tell people to always do before they even buy any luncheon meat. I know Boar's Head carries some products without sodium nitrite, and some of them have sodium nitrite. And so if we ever buy Boar's Head meat products, we always make sure we check the label. Sodium nitrite is a super reactive compound that's put in the meat as a preserving agent, and it also keeps the meat pink. That's why you can always tell if it's in there, because the meat's pink. And the reason they use it is primarily as this coloring agent that makes the meat look pink rather than gray. Because, dead meat looks gray if it doesn't have any pink blood in it, right? Now, it also decreases the amount of hemoglobin oxygen capacity, which that massively increases the risks of cancer, because cancer is an anaerobic disease. It can't live in the presence of oxygen. Secondly, it massively increases the risks of colon rectal cancer and a 60 times greater rate of pancreatic cancer. So before you ever, ever, ever eat a luncheon meat or even anything, when you go to a restaurant, if you want to order a Reuben sandwich with corned beef or whatever, you make sure you check the label on that corned beef to make sure it does not contain sodium nitrite. In fact, last year, I remember when Doug and Joe Hagman were down here for a conference in Orlando, I met them for lunch and had a great time with them. And we went to one restaurant and there was nothing there I could eat, Austin. Oh, you were with me, you remember? You were with me. But I don't think, were you there both days with me or just the one day? I don't remember.
No, I was there the second day.
you were the second and first day we couldn't eat anything because it all contained junk and sodium nitrite. And I told them, I said, we got to change restaurants. They said, change restaurants? I said, yeah, we got to change restaurants. We went to a different restaurant and we got something we could eat. And then the first thing I asked, I said, is your Reuben sandwich, does it contain sodium nitrite? And they said, no, we don't use any meats with sodium nitrite. We try to do organic. And I said, okay, great, I'll have that. So you're thinking, Ted Brewer ate a Reuben sandwich? Yeah, it was really good too. It had sauerkraut and it was really good. But I made sure it didn't have sodium nitrite. Years ago, I was doing a seminar at Carpenter's Home Church. I was there for 4 years, spoke to over 5,000 people every Wednesday night. It's back when I was, gosh, when I first started the company back in the early 80s. I actually had time to do all of that. I loved it. I had all these presentations put together, like 25 of different ones, and we rotated them every 12 weeks or 15 weeks or whatever it was. And I had a lady come up to me in Austin one time, and she said that her husband lived on hot dogs. And I told her, I said, that's not good because of the increased risks of pancreatic cancer and colorectal cancer. She goes, well, he won't listen to me. I said, why don't you bring him to the class and, you know, we can try to talk to him. She goes, well, I've tried. He won't come. I said, all right. And I saw her about 3 or 4 years later, and I asked her how her husband was doing, and she told me he had died of colorectal cancer. See, this is the thing that I'm trying to tell you guys. I don't make this stuff up. Okay, you can look at the research on it. Every single thing that I warned you about, the trans fats, the hydrogenated oils, the aspartame, the Splenda, the MSG, all of this stuff, the sodium nitrite, the high-fat luncheon meats, the pork, you know, everything. I've warned you for the last 25, 35 years, in fact, almost 35 years now, 30 years on radio and TV, telling you guys what this stuff does and how poisonous it is. Now, on top of everything else, this is another thing you please don't do. Don't drink diet sodas at all, period, ever. And whatever you don't do, don't eat high-fat luncheon meats containing sodium nitrite drinking a diet soda. And here's why. When you take aspartame and you combine it with sodium nitrite, it forms what's called a nitrosamine. It forms what's called a diketiopeperazine. That diketiopeperazine degrades the form of nitrosuria. Nitrosureas are one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals. So if you want to get brain cancer, have a pepperoni pizza with a diet soda and do it on a regular basis. Plus, you're going to get really fat on top of everything else. Plus, it has the methanol in it, which is wood alcohol, which cannot be made non-poisonous. And again, your body spazzes out, like Austin talked about, when you drink alcohol, when you ingest this alcohol, and it starts doing everything it can to metabolize, get rid of this methanol so you don't have brain poisoning from it and you don't go blind from it. Because it causes optic nerve degradation. So don't drink diet sodas. Plus, it causes massive memory lapses. It's just a horrible problem, and it causes massive problems with depression. I mean, this is just something you don't need, and whatever you do, don't combine them with aspartame. Don't use the nitrites, don't use the aspartame. Those are two things that I tell you never to put in your body along with pork and trans fats. Those are the four things. Okay, I used to call them the Kevorkian four back in the 90s for Dr. Kevorkian's orders. I mean, 25 years ago I'm talking about this stuff. And he was the suicide doctor that was featured on 60 Minutes. If you can believe that, he's actually featured on a national talk show, and they talk about killing all these people. But he said that my first four, the Kevorkian four, were pork, high-fat luncheon meats, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, which includes all the nitrite products, the aspartame, the hydrogenated oils, and shellfish. And that includes lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, and clams. The Old Testament, the Bible, the Torah, is the first five books of Levitical law, the Pentateuch. I believe we need to stay clean with that as far as the diet. Because remember, in the Old Testament, there were several things. There was God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the sanitary laws, and the dietary laws. When Jesus came for us and he saved us, the dietary laws and the sanitary laws were never saved. Okay, you can't save a pig. I mean, it doesn't work that way, okay? God said, don't eat it. I mean, he said, read the last chapter, chapter 65 and chapter 66 of Isaiah, if you want to see how God feels about those who eat pork. And just read it. Read it yourself and realize this is the same God who gave us Jesus, okay, who came in the flesh through Jesus Christ, was born of a virgin, you know, was man, virgin through Mary. We talked about this last week, and basically tells us not to do this. And then if it says if you do it pleases him, he'll give you anything you ask. Well, it doesn't please him to eat pork. Newsflash. He doesn't like it. I mean, it wasn't designed for human beings to eat. It was designed as like a transportable garbage can septic tank is what it is, and it eats everything. So don't eat pig or pork. And now the World Health Organization has come out last month or 2 months ago and said that now they're linking pork consumption to global rates of cancer and that pork causes cancer, which I've told you guys that for decades. What's your next story, Oz?
Next one now. I thought I'd touch base on it because we've covered it a few times. Millions now are opting to pay the fine and refusing to buy health insurance. Here's a new article that just came out. It states that 2.5 million new customers bought insurance through healthcare.gov, you know, the Obamacare, after open enrollment. However, 10.5 million people eligible to buy coverage still remain uninsured. People are opting to pay the fines for remaining uninsured rather than ante up the huge sums for insurance. And the Kaiser Family Foundation conducted a study that found roughly more than 7 million people eligible for exchange coverage would save more by basically going without coverage and paying the penalty instead. And the New York Times, which is the ultimate liberal biased media piece for the government, they came out and they said, "We understand some people may be thinking about their choice of coverage, but going without health insurance is a serious gamble that can be catastrophic if wrong." But what's interesting is most people don't understand is when you start doing the math on this stuff, the cost of the monthly premiums and even the deductibles added in there for just healthy people can reach well over $10,000 a year annually for a family, which is a far cry above the $695 per adult that's levied against non-insured people in the 2016 tax year now. So everybody's got to, you got to make your own decision. I'm not going to tell you to go with insurance or not go insurance. It's your decision, but you can see there's a lot of people that are opting out of it and just willing to pay the fine. I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, just with average insurance is around $300 to $400 a month now. And you know, that's usually with a deductible on it as well, depending on what that is. You know, it depends on your plan. But you know, $300 to $400 a month, you're looking at anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 a year just in your monthly premiums just to have health insurance.
And also with people trying just to pay their house bills and their house payments and their car payments nowadays and the bank owning everything anyhow, they don't have the money to do it. They just simply don't have it. So, but again, that's a decision you have to make. We gave out a phone number here a while back about a Christian program that's actually part of that package. It's a lot less money. And we had a doctor on a few months ago who talked about it, did a whole show with me in Austin. So there are natural things that you can do that don't cost that much, that don't have these horribly high deductibles. Oh, by the way, here's another article. The Republican National Committee will consider Obama impeachment proceedings. I am so sick of these people. They nauseate me. This should have been done 4 or 5 years ago. And now here he is, less than a year left in office, and now they're thinking, well, we want to go ahead and impeach him now. Well, what a joke. First of all, they don't have the support to do it, number one. And number two, whatever, man. I mean, but I'm, no, don't get me wrong. If they want to do it, I hope they do it, but they should have done it a long time ago. Reports circling online are suggesting that the Republican National Committee is to consider a resolution drafted to the impeachment of Barack Obama. The resolution, which seems to have been drafted by the North American Law Center, is to be weighed up at a January 13th meeting of the RNC. The document is titled Articles of Impeachment of Barack Obama. Well, that's pretty tight. That's simple, okay? It begins, unresolved, that Barack Hussein Obama, acting president of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment are to be exhibited for the Senate. And it goes on and on. It says, please have them do it. So, yes, I want you guys to call your Senate members, call your House members, and tell them if this thing comes before them, to vote for it. Because, be honest with you guys, I'm not saying that Joe Biden's any better than this clown. Who knows what Joe Biden's going to do? He's kind of a goofy guy anyhow. But the reality is, at least we know he's not a Muslim praying to Mecca 5 times a day. I think he's not, but again, he'll be completely controlled by the globalists too. So, I don't know, but articles of impeachment against Barack Hussein Obama, I mean, and it's, the article one is usurpation of the Oval Office via criminal identity fraud. It goes, I mean, through all of this stuff. I mean, so we don't know what in the world, you know, they're saying he's an usurper and everything else. So I don't know if that'll help or hurt. I just want him out of the office. He's a lame duck anyhow. And so if it wasn't for executive orders, I don't think he could do much. What's your next story, Oz?
One in Springfield, Missouri, now a lady has come out and basically told everybody that, you know, the right to legally carry a firearm saved her and her husband's life. On Sunday, they said her and her family stopped at a gas station at the Rapids Roberts on Sunshine Street on Sunday night, and basically a man ran over to them acting really strange and pulled out basically a big old knife out of his jacket, and she yelled for her husband, said, get the gun. And basically her husband pulled out his pistol and pointed at the man. The man got scared and ran off, took off. They couldn't find him. And so they called 911, filed a police report and all that. And the man obviously wasn't charged even for pointing the gun at him because he was in fear of his life. But this what I wanted to get with that is, guys, be very cautious. The more the economy breaks down, the more people start getting extremely hostile and aggressive, the more we have, you know, radicalists imported in this country. Use situational awareness when you're at gas stations, when you're at rest areas, when you're at, I mean, any place you go, malls. Look at what's going on around you, because I know Dad and I, we've both been in situations where we've had people approach us in a rapid time frame, and you know, people don't realize that I think on average a regular male can sprint 30 feet in around 2 seconds. So you see somebody coming at you in a hostile manner, you need to prepare yourself for it however you feel the need to do so, whether it be with a firearm or a taser or whatever you want to use, whatever you feel comfortable with. But everybody needs to start acquiring better situational awareness, because there's too many situations that I personally think could be avoided if most people would just be aware of what's going on and not having their face buried in their iPhone or their iPad or their iWatch or their I everything. I don't know. But just tidbit. I just want to give everybody a heads up on that.
That's really good information, Austin. I remember years ago, because I'm really careful. You know how I am. I've been in parking lots, especially when I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really funny about it, and I'm just because I've seen too much bad stuff. You know, when we owned that bar when I was a kid, and what was interesting is that makes me very, very kind of how should I say this word? Aware. That's the best word to use of my surroundings. And I remember a few years ago, I was over at a big mall. And be very careful in mall parking lots, because a lot of people get attacked and robbed in mall parking lots. That's why they have all these booths set up now down here in Central Florida, because they're trying to avoid that. Disney even puts up a huge booth that they actually elevate about 40 feet in the air to watch the parking lots. I mean, they're like having constant monitoring there now with cameras everywhere. Of course, everything at Disney's camered anyhow, so it doesn't make a difference. But you can still get robbed in a matter of seconds. And I remember I walked up and I was walking out to your mom's car with your mom, and we're shopping in some outlet mall in Orlando. In Austin, I'm so careful, and I'm so careful not to turn my back to people. And it literally, I had my back turned for 3 seconds, opening the trunk, and a guy walked up to me. I didn't even hear him, and he basically tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey man, can you give me a ride downtown?" And he's obviously on drugs. And I spun around. And I put my hand in my pocket, because I pocket carried my Kimber, and I said, "Step back, get away from me." I said, "I don't know you." I said, "No, you're not getting a ride with me. Take a taxi." And he stepped away. And I thought to myself, it was that fast that I've seen people get cut that fast in a bar. You have to be aware. And if ladies, if you're by yourself, you know, what you need to do is you need to make sure, if you're scared or you're in a bad situation, have somebody from the mall escort you to the car. Even if you walk out with other shoppers, or get a security person to take you out in your golf cart, in the golf cart. But just don't be tromping through the woods late at night thinking it's going to be okay. It's not, okay? You don't want to be doing stuff like that unless you're armed, unless you're in Montana. if you're in Montana, it probably won't matter if you're a grizzly bear. But that's about the safest place to live right now anyhow. But Montana's don't want any more Californians over there. But anyhow, yeah. But you're absolutely right, Austin. Oh, by the way, gold is now up to 1,093 today. I called this on Monday and told you guys that gold was going to probably have a rally. Then the Nike was down 182. The Japan was down 182. China was down 166. Europe, the German stock market was 96. The FTSE was down 63. The U.S. right now is down 242 on the Dow, and the NASDAQ is down 53, and gold is up. And what's interesting, it looks like they tried a weak attempt this morning when the New York opened to try to short it, and it kept going up anyhow to 1,093, because it was about 1,085. They tried, well, actually it was a little bit higher, it was 1,092. They shorted it back down to 1,087. Now it's back up to almost 190, 193, so 1,093. So when gold makes its rally, it's going to be really, really fast. But then what will happen is these powers to be will do the same thing again. I'm letting you know, it's going to be this roller coaster, because they're going to short it with paper. And that's just basically how they've been able to control it. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and also, too, I wanted to just throw that out there as well for a lot of the listeners. People that, you know, may be a little bit scared, maybe a little timid of firearms, like, you know, women that just aren't comfortable around them, do yourself a favor and invest in at least some type of pepper spray or mace, something that's at least a deterrent. And when you're walking out in a parking lot or you're somewhere you feel uncomfortable, have it on in your hand, either on, you know, outside of your purse. Because remember, with pepper spray, mace, all that stuff, it's not considered a firearm, so you don't have to concealed carry it. There's no laws on that. You can walk right out in the parking lot with it in your hand at ready to use it if possible. They even make them now, a small one that I bought for Lana a while back ago. It's a little pocket one that goes on your keychain. So, I mean, if you need it, all you got to do is mash that button. Now, obviously, you need to use, you know, restraint when you're in the car and not be fumbling around and spray yourself in the face, because that doesn't go well for you either if you're being negligent with it. But that's also another option for females, as basically a mild security that don't want to carry a firearm or not comfortable with that. So I just thought I'd add that in there.
Yeah, and make sure you check with your state laws, because a lot of democratically controlled states regulate the use and the carrying of pepper spray. And so you don't want to be in a state where you think it's okay because you heard it on this show, and it's not. Check with your local.
We live in Florida, by the way, just to throw that out there.
Well, Florida's one of the coolest states to live in as far as gun laws. It really is. And plus, the best place in Florida to live is Polk County with Sheriff Grady Judd. I mean, he's a constitutional man, and we love him. Here's the interesting. This is today. Germany is in shock after a monstrous attack, raped by 1,000 men. Of Arab origin. I guess they're basically not calling them Muslims anymore. That's okay. We'll call them Arab origin. Yesterday, we were shocked to learn that as German anger boiled over at the country's unprecedented refuge wave, one or more so far unknown assailants fired shots at the window of a home of asylum seekers. This is what's happening because of what's happened. According to BBC, the scale of the attacks on the women in the city in Cologne at the central railroad station has shocked Germany. About 1,000 drunk and aggressive young men were involved. The initial shock will quickly transform to furious anger because the more important in this specific case was the origin of the 1,000 drunk assailants who split into two groups and attacked women in the school square, citing the police chief Wolfgang Albers. BBC notes that the men were of Arab or North American. Okay, they were Muslims, okay? Adding that they were mostly between 18 and 35 years old, he added that the crime was a completely new dimension of crime for Cologne. So this is happening in Germany. Remember, I warned you. I did a story from this. I was there, and I talked about it in Germany, and how Frankfurt has now turned into the rape capital of Europe, and now it looks like Cologne is right behind Frankfurt. And we can thank the dictator, Angela Merkel, for this, who's another basically globalist who's doing what she needs to do to destroy Europe, who basically, I'm sure, still hates Germany because she was raised in East Germany. So it's absolutely awful that she's allowed herself to be doing all this stuff. And it's awful. What's your final story, Austin? We're almost out of time. I guess we are out of time. But if you can hear me, I lost Austin. We love you guys. We appreciate you. Remember, the show is brought to you by HealthMasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. I will not, and I will never, turn this show into an infomercial. I will not do that. We love you. We appreciate your support. Thanks for signing up for our newsletters, and I will talk to you tomorrow. We'll have all fresh news for you tomorrow. And by the way, we really appreciate you guys. We love you. Bye.